I had a dream that I was a muffler last night. I woke up exhausted. I didn't make these up, unfortunately. Ben, is Ben in here? Why couldn't the bike stand up by itself? Because it was too tired. Ben told me that one this morning. Ben gets the credit for that one. Praise God. Well, happy Father's Day. If you're known as the funny guy in the family, congratulations. We do our best. Amen. Praise God. It is good to be with you. We always, you know, it just so happens because of the summer schedule around here, it just so happens that most summers we have the opportunity to be here on Father's Day, bring the Father's Day message. I always want to start by applauding you for being here because it is Father's Day. You know, there's a lot of things that you could be doing conscience-free without being here, but you're here. You brought your family here, and so I applaud you. You know, the things of God ought to be first and foremost in your family anyways. And so we just say, God bless you. Thanks for being here, and God honors you this morning. Amen. Let's open up this morning by turning to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Of course, a familiar passage that a lot of times we preach at our kids. But we're going to see some things a little bit different this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse number 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live a long time on the earth." But now watch this. Sometimes we stop there. But now the Bible goes on to give a little instruction. Verse 4, it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture." You know, one translation says loving care and encouragement through growth. So bring them up in the nurture, the loving care and admonition of the Lord. The Passion Translation says raise them up with loving discipline and counsel that brings revelation of our Lord. You know, discipline's not an ugly word. I'll say it again. Discipline is not an ugly word. In fact, it's what God has called us to do as men, women of God, as mothers, fathers. You know, specifically we're talking about fathers. We're addressing fathers this morning, but this applies to all of us. Amen. And so raise them up with loving discipline and counsel that brings revelation. You know, ultimately that needs to be the result, is that through godly discipline and instruction and correction, what they're getting is they're getting a revelation of a good God that's ready to do good things for them. Hebrews 12:9 says, "Since we respected our heavenly fathers who disciplined us." You know, I thank God that my family, that my mom, my dad, I'm thankful that my dad disciplined me, that he corrected me when I was wrong. I'm glad that he took the time to point out whenever I was going the wrong way. I'm thankful for that. So since we respected our heavenly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of a father of our spirits? Now watch this. And live forever. Amen. It yields great results. Discipline. So what is the word discipline? Now, understand, we're not going to talk about discipline the whole service. So just calm down, relax for just a minute. Discipline. What is discipline? Well, discipline means, in fact, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means education. Discipline. Discipline means education. It means instruction. It means cultivation that leads to improvement and correction. Well, if anybody like to grow things? Anybody like to plant things, plant a garden? You know, what you're doing is you're disciplining that garden. You know, you could plant a garden and just let it be, and it'll produce a little bit, but if you go out there and you cultivate it and you weed it and you know, you tie up the strings for the okra or the beans, or, you know, you get the things that help the tomatoes grow up straight and tall, if you do those things, how many of you know you yield a better crop, right? And so discipline is really a term that we could relate most to when it comes to gardening or tending to things. But notice, it also means to advance and prepare by instruction. You know, as fathers, again, today we're directing this to our fathers, but this applies to mothers and fathers. It applies to anybody that's in a position of, of being the head of the household, or maybe in a position as leader. And so, so when done the right way, discipline yields tremendous results. But now you can't talk about discipline without pointing out a few other scriptures. Look over at Proverbs 23. Somebody say, that's in the Bible. Let's try that one more time. Say, this is going to be in the Bible. So how many of you realize that if it's in the Bible, we don't just throw it out because we might not like what it's getting ready to say? Everybody with me this morning? Proverbs 23, verse 13, in the Passion Translation says, don't withhold appropriate discipline from your child. Go ahead and punish him when he needs it. How many of you, when you were growing up, got punishment when you needed it? Two hands? Two legs? Yeah. Again, I was glad looking back. I wasn't glad in the moment, right? Nobody's glad in the moment, but looking back, I'm glad that my parents cared enough to mold and shape and direct and tell me whenever I was wrong. In fact, we're reading here in Ephesians, you know, the Bible says that it may be well with you that you'll live a long time on the earth. I tell the story often whenever we're doing chapel service talking about things, but you know, when I was a kid, when I was a city boy, believe it or not, before I moved out to the country, and I lived in Austin, Texas, and grew up in the city. And I remember when I was a kid, I had a big wheels. Anybody remember those big wheels? Had the big front wheel and two back wheels, and had what they thought was a brake on it. You know, it was a little plastic piece that you pulled up, kind of mashed against the wheel. And so I remember when I got this big wheel, well, we lived in a house that was up on a hill. Now this was a busy street. It'd be like this street here in front of us, Ocoee Street. And so we lived on a busy street, and my house set up on a hill, and so our driveway went straight down into that road. Well, my parents told us, don't ever get on your bike and ride down that hill. You walk that bike down to the bottom, or you walk that big wheel down to the bottom, and you ride on the sidewalk, but don't go down that hill. Well, I had other ideas. I got this big wheel. And so I decided that I could go down this hill and I could make that turn before, you know, right as you get to the end, I could make that turn and get on that sidewalk just in time. Well, my idea didn't go as planned. And one day I got on that big wheel and I went riding down that hill, down my driveway, and I ended up in the middle of the road and I got hit by a car. Yeah, that was pretty dumb, wasn't it? So the Bible says to obey that it may go well with you. Well, see, my parents were correcting, disciplining, trying to instruct me in a way to keep me out of trouble, but I failed to obey. Right? Moms, dads, you need to discipline. You need to instruct. You need to tell them when they're going the wrong direction that it may go well with them so that they'll live a long time on the earth. You're here, so that means you followed some good advice somewhere along the way. But now, how many of you know you can't leave out the next verse either? Come on now, at least a few mom or dads, you can't leave out the next verse either. The Bible says, in the Passion Translation, it says, a good spanking could be the very thing that teaches him a lifelong lesson. You know, spanking and discipline is not a big topic nowadays because it's like the thing that nobody wants to do. It's the unpardonable sin in the world that we live in. You can't discipline, you can't spank, you can't do those things. That's physical, that's child abuse. Well, somebody say it's in the Bible. You know, the Bible says, it actually says in verse 14 in the King James, it says, you shall beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Isn't that what it says? Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger lest they be discouraged. Well, there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. Whenever you instruct and discipline according to the Word of God, and you do it in love, how many of you know that's the right way and it yields good results? But now if you go to spanking your kids and you're doing it with the wrong attitude, you're doing it out of anger, then what are you doing? You're provoking your children. And the Bible says that what's going to happen is you're going to lead them to discouragement, not growth. Not growth. Come on now. You're going to lead them to provoke. What does that mean? It means to infuriate, to stir up, to incite. And when you discipline the wrong way, that's exactly what you're doing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want kids discouraged. I want my kids, I want my grandkids encouraged. I want them to leave. You know, yes, we have those times of discipline. Yes, we have those times of instruction. You know, and oftentimes as a mother, father, grandfather, you know, those times aren't fun. But whenever you notice change, whenever you get correction and then it goes well with them, that's when you realize, you know what, this is necessary. It's not fun, but it's necessary. It's necessary. You know, I read, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, if Satan's arsenal of weapons were restricted to one single one, it would be discouragement. And whether you realize it or not, when you fail to discipline your children or when you discipline the wrong way, you are encouraging them towards discouragement. You are pushing them towards discouragement. What does that mean? It means you're pushing them towards a loss of enthusiasm. You're pushing them towards a lack of confidence. It's the opposite of feeling inspired and supported. Because see, I'll tell you this much, because my parents disciplined me when I was a kid, I know that I was supported. I might not have realized it at that moment, but looking back, I know that my parents cared because they disciplined me. What do I mean by that? They pushed me in the right direction. They took the time to correct me because they loved me. We always joke about it, but how many of you heard the phrase growing up, it hurts me more than it hurts you? I never once believed that growing up, but I believe it now. Because again, sometimes that's not fun. Come on now, it's going to get better. Stay with me. We need to be cultivating confidence in our children through love and support. We need to be their biggest fan. I said, we need to be their biggest fan. You know, I always felt like growing up that I could do more and become anything because I had the love and support of my family. But here's the promise. Here's the promise. When you do it the right way. Somebody say the right way. When you do it the right way. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You say, well, my child's, you know, living ungodly. That's all right. What's the promise say? What's the Bible say? Even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You just keep saying that. You just keep declaring that, that my children are taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace. Why? Because you're taking the time to teach them. You're taking the time to instruct them. See, we tend to follow and mimic the way that we are raised. My lovely wife pointed out to me recently, we had made a trip to see my parents, and she was noticing how my dad sits in his chair. Well, he's always had these big lounge chairs. How many dads have a big lounge chair at your house, you know, that you can kick back, put your feet up? Well, we were there. And she said, I want you to look at your father. Well, he wasn't sitting with his legs on the part. He was sitting there with his leg propped up over the armrest. How many of you do that? Well, apparently that's the way I sit. Whenever I sit in my lounge chair, I sit with my leg propped up over the armrest. She said, you are just like your father. I said, what are you talking about? Well, she even pulled up a picture of my dad, and he had his leg up over that armrest. She pulled up a picture of me, and I had my leg up over the armrest. Yeah, we tend to mimic what we are raised to do. You know, that's just one small example, but how many of you ever realize, you know, I do it this way because Daddy did it, or I do it this way because Mama did it? Well, so it should also be with godly principles and values. Charles Swindoll said, every day we make deposits in the memory banks of our children. You know, if you've been around here at any time at all, you know that on Father's Day, I'll always point out Genesis 18:19, where talking about Abraham, it says, the Lord said, for I know him, that is Abraham, that he will command his children after his household and after him, will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Now, if you do any kind of study at all, you find out that that word command means to lead. Not with an iron fist, but it means to lead from out front. It means to instruct, to discipline. That's what that word command means. You see, every father, now listen, every father should remember that one day his children will follow his example, not his advice. I said they'll follow his example, not his advice. I like so much Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse number 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now listen, understand, Moses is addressing the second generation here, and Moses knew that they were one generation away from extinction. Study this out. There was great importance in what he was getting ready to say. And he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." And these words, what he just said, "These words will I command you this day and shall be in your heart, that you shall teach them. You shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the posts of your house and on your gates." You shall write them on the posts of your house and on your gates. How many of you have pictures up in your house, and it's scripture verse, so that you know when you walk by, you see it? Yeah, we got that stuff in our house. Well, what's the idea? The idea is that when you see it, you say, yeah, that's right. It reminds you about something. Well, that's what it means to write it on the post of the house. I've got a buddy of mine that lives in Lubbock, Texas. He's a judge out there. We grew up together, best friends growing up in school. Well, they built a house several years ago. And how many of you seen people, they actually take that and they write scriptures on the posts of the house, on the door frames and on the studs. You ever seen somebody do that? Yeah. Well, that's taking the Word of God literally, but how many of you understand whenever you do it God's way, when you do it the right way, that then the Bible says that you get results, you get lasting results. So sure, we ought to do that. Dads, we need to take an active role in our family's everyday life. That's why the Bible says, "You shall teach them diligently. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." The Word of God needs to be in your mouth constantly. I said constantly. Yeah, we're going to have those times where we give our opinion or we tell them what we think, but the most important thing you can do for your kids is to tell them what the Word of God says. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to yourself, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart your heart all the days of your life, but teach them." Somebody say, teach them. Teach. "But teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons." Just because your kids leave the house don't mean your days are up. We just had two of the grandkids with us this week, and at times it was a time of instruction. Hey, stop that. Hey, don't do that. Hey, quit that. Don't hit your brother. Don't put that in your mouth. Spit that out. That's not made to go in your mouth. Quit running on the couch. And on and on. But it was a lovely time. We enjoyed every moment of it. We were tired. Sheila was tired. Because she was the one with them the whole time. I came to work a few hours each day. But no, just because they leave the nest doesn't mean you're... The Bible says, teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Your time of instruction is never over because your kids always need you. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. You know, those three boys are my crowning accomplishment, and I take full credit. Anytime they do something good, take full credit. But you know, isn't it, how many of you got grandkids? Isn't it fun to see life through their eyes, through their innocent eyes? You know, we do things totally different with these three grandkids than we did with these two here. Totally different. Totally different. Yeah, totally different. We see things a little bit different. We're older and wiser. Y'all got us when we were not as smart, dumber. But you know, life has a way of teaching you lessons, valuable lessons, and you learn to do things a little bit different, right? You know, through their eyes, it's all about monster trucks and Hot Wheels right now. And there is a life application to every situation through monster trucks and Hot Wheels, I guarantee you. If not, just listen to Josiah. He'll tell you. Well, the Lord is calling for men and fathers and husbands to rise up and take responsibility for themselves and for their families. That's what we're saying. Realized many years ago, early on, that I was no longer Mathis party of one. Every decision that I made, every move that I made, it was no longer about me. Dad, it's no longer about you. I said, it's no longer about you. Whenever you get married as a husband, you're called to love, to lead, to provide. We see that in Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy. But when you become a parent, the Lord adds to your calling, and that is to train and to teach. Do you know this? The term fathering means to treat with protective care. The word father means to be involved, means behaving responsibly. It means being emotionally engaged, physically available, providing financial support, and having influence in the child-rearing decisions of your family. We see an interesting passage, if you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now understand, it, just in context here, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's talking about the office of a bishop. But the Word of God applies to all of us the same. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a striker, not greedy of filthy lucre," that's just talking about money, "not a brawler, not covetous." But watch this, this is just, you know, all of that's good. But this is what I want you to point out, or want you to see. Verse 4 says, "One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity," that is with respect, with honor. "For if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" You see, fathers, like instructors, teach by precept, but they do more than that. Through example, they're imparting their character to their children, and in the process, they are reproducing children in their own image. Did you see that? See, in Genesis 1:26 and in Genesis 5:3, we see this same principle. You remember, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." What was he saying? That word image is implying the inward nature or the character. And so God said, "Let us make man after our likeness." But then we also see about Adam, it says in Genesis 5:3, it says that Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his own image and named him Seth. I found one translation says that Seth was the spitting image of Adam. Seth was the spitting image. You see, as fathers, we are duplicating ourselves in our children, whether you like it or not. Good and bad. So if all you're exhibiting is the bad side, if all you have is a nasty temper, then guess what? Somebody's watching. Come on now. No doubt Seth adopted Adam's characteristics and habits of life that he witnessed and was taught. You see, dads, the most powerful force that a natural father has at his disposal is to shape the lives of his children. And I can see myself in both of my kids. I really can. Now, whether you think either one of them looks like me, that's a whole other thing. I can see myself in each one of them. I can even see myself in the grandkids. It's interesting. When they're acting right, of course. So we're teaching them. They're picking up things. They're noticing things. They're listening. So what are you teaching? You know, your life is a living example for your kids. And even in the smallest things, it's time you got to realize that. You know, I'm thankful because I was thinking about this and preparing this message. I'm thankful that my parents stayed together. It's a big deal. My parents last year celebrated 50 years. 50 years. Thank God. Because that influenced me. That affected us, me and my brother, growing up, that they stayed together. It wasn't perfect. They're probably watching this more. They would tell you it wasn't perfect. Each one of them had their faults. But they worked it out. And they're still together. Amen? And so we learned a lot from them. You know, I was thinking about my dad. It's Father's Day. And a lot of things my dad taught me. You know, my dad taught me a love for sports. Guaranteed, right after church, he'll find a ball game. And a ball game will be on his television, whether it's football, baseball. It's not going to be soccer. It's never going to be soccer. But he's going to find some kind of sport. My dad taught me a love for sports. My dad taught me how to throw a baseball. My dad was involved in Little League. My dad taught me how to have a love for the Cowboys and the Longhorns. As I'm sure some of you, your parents taught you how to have a love for Alabama or for UT or whatever godforsaken team you're cheering for in these parts. That came from somebody that had influence on you. Guaranteed. So my dad taught me about sports. My dad taught me how to treat a woman with love and respect. My dad taught me how to work with my hands. We had chores and responsibilities from my earliest recollection. You know, I think that's a lesson lost on a lot of kids today. See too many kids without responsibility. You know, you can ask Matthew, when I was working around the house, Matthew was always by my side, and I didn't just let him follow me around. I gave him a wrench. I gave him instruction. I told him, hey, this is why I'm doing it, as Sheila did with Christina. You know, they're you know, it's okay to teach them how to do a thing or two. Come on now. My dad taught me the value of hard work, that there's no such thing as being too early. I'm an early guy. If I'm supposed to be there at 11, I'm there at 10:45. That's what my dad taught me. There's no such thing as being too early. My dad taught me to work hard while on the clock. I remember when I was 13, I got a job working as a carryout at a grocery store. I mean, I started young. And it wasn't because they made me. But we didn't grow up rich. We didn't have a lot of extra. And so if there were things that we wanted, you know, he said, get a job. Go work for it. We didn't have to. Please understand, we didn't have to. He never told us we had to. But if the extras in life that we wanted, then he said, you're going to have to do this. You know, I had to buy my own car. My dad paid the insurance. I'm sure many of you have done that with your kids. And so, you know, there was things like that that he taught me. My dad taught me how to work hard. I remember as a kid when I was working at the grocery store, when they came in to shop, because, you know, this was the only grocery store in town, so everybody shopped there. And so I'm a carry out, you know, and I have responsibilities. But when my dad walked in, when my parents walked in the shop, then I would go over there, welcome them, and I would get them a cart, and I'd start walking around with them through the store. And inevitably, after a few minutes, my dad would say, don't you have something to do? Well, yeah, I just thought I'd walk around with you. No, you're on somebody else's clock. Get busy. Well, by God. Didn't like that at the moment, but I appreciate that now. He taught me to be a hard worker. Sure. My dad taught me the value of a dollar. My dad is not a careless spender. And I'll leave it at that. He is not a careless spender. And so that was passed on to me. I am frugal, but I'm generous. I am a generous giver, but I'm frugal. You're not going to ever see me gambling. You're never going to see me wasting money on video games. I think I've told y'all before, when I was a kid growing up, You know, it was my brother, myself, and my cousin. She would be there at my grandparents, and they would give us each, I don't know, $5 or something, and we would ride our bikes down to the convenience store. They had some arcade, you know, back then they had arcades in the convenience stores, and so they'd give us $5 to go play games, get a drink and a candy or whatever. And so we'd all go down there, and so they would go down there, they'd buy their drink and their candy, and they'd spend their quarters on these video game machines, and by the time it was time to leave, I'd have my $5. Because I wasn't going to waste it on food and drink whenever we had it at the house, and I certainly wasn't going to stick it in one of them arcade machines. No, I've never been that way. Dad taught me how to have a value, how to value the dollar. My dad taught me how to show respect to everyone. I said everyone. My dad's taught me how to show respect to everyone we ever met, especially to those in authority. If a teacher called home and said that we had done something wrong, guess what? We had done something wrong. And we got in trouble at school, and then we got in trouble when we got home. How many of you can attest to that in your life? There was no debating with the teacher about how they were wrong and they treated me wrong. And if the teacher called, if the principal called, and thank God we were angels, it never happened. Maybe a few times. Man, we live in a weird day and age, I'm telling you. Yeah, he taught me to have a respect for authority. I'm glad he did. My dad taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to be a husband, a father, and he placed a premium on family, and he's still teaching me the same lesson today. Proverbs 22:6 again says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." In the Passion Translation, it says, "Point them in the way that they should go, and the values they've learned from you will be with them for life." Listen, that needs to be something that you need to understand, is that when you teach them, when you train them, when you lead them, guide them, and you point them in the way that they should go, even though it might not look like it, God's word is still the same. So you lay hold of that promise that what they have learned from you will be with them for life. They need to see you pray. They need to see you read the word. They need to see you in church. Church does not need to be an option. Even Jesus went to church. Now you say, well, that just sounds kind of weird. This is Jesus. Luke 4:16 says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." What does that mean? Mom and daddy took him. As was his custom. Church doesn't need to be an option in your family, fathers. It needs to be a priority. And again, you're here, so pat yourself on the back. But here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Look over there, Proverbs 1:1. I want to point something out to you, because again, we're talking about teaching our kids, leading them by example. In Proverbs 1:1, how many of you know that every single passage in this Bible is with significance? Every passage. And so Proverbs 1:1, it says, "The Proverbs," or the words of wisdom, "the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel." Solomon here, so we see Solomon is teaching life lessons and proverbs, wisdom that is rich in practical truth that he learned from his father David. So you could say it this way, David taught me. And then you go through Proverbs. So in Proverbs 4, verse 1, it says, "Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." In other words, he was saying, I was my mama's favorite. Every once in a while, that's okay to say. "And he taught me also, and said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Solomon was saying, he said, keep my commandments, and when you do so, you'll live. Godly wisdom is the key that will unlock every door in your life, without a doubt. Dads, you're never finished teaching. Class is always in session. You're never finished teaching. See, there's a lot of voices in this world, and all of them endeavoring to teach our children, and far too many of them are void of common sense and truth. I mean, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting, the things that are going on in society right now. And I'll just say it this way, if you're stupid, you'll just let them have the voice in your kid's life. Shouldn't be that way. You need to have enough common sense and God-given fortitude to stand up and say, as for me and my house, this is the way it's going to be. No, that's not the truth. This is the truth. You need to correct every bit of nonsense that they hear, and you need to turn it off if it's in their face and in their ear. Come on now. Listen, if you won't teach them, somebody else will. I said, if you won't teach them, somebody else will. You can't leave it up to community leaders and school officials. Huh? Now listen, I understand. We have a lot of friends in this community that are school teachers. And I trust them. I trust my kids to go to them. Yeah, there's good ones. There's bad ones too. So you need to be listening. What's being taught? You need to stand up and have a voice in what's being taught to your kids. You need to be inquisitive. You need to inquire. You need to be listening. What are they being taught? Sometimes your kids need the hard truth. Not every lesson makes them feel good. So sometimes you're going to be that voice that says, no, that's not right, when they don't want to hear it. You know, my children didn't need another friend. They needed a father. My children needed a dad. And whether they realized it at the time, they needed somebody to make the hard decisions for the family. They needed somebody that they could count on to tell them the truth. You ask these two. Whenever they ran into a situation and they needed help, ultimately, in the end, what they were going to get was the Word of God from both of us. Yeah, we had opinions. I say it all the time. I've got a lot of opinions. And if you ask me, I'll tell you my opinion. But my opinion is not what makes the difference. The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So yeah, if you say, give me your opinion, I'll give you my opinion, but if you're not asking for my opinion, my words are going to be, this is what the Bible says. And I'll boldly declare that when I do things the way the Word of God says, I never fail. Never fails to yield results. So that needs to be your attitude with your kids. Tell them the truth. See, I realize in this season of my life that my kids need my influence more than ever, and they want no less love. Again, just because they're out of the house doesn't mean that, well, dad's old and dumb. They don't feel that way. You might think your kids feel that way, but they don't feel that way. Your older kids want your influence. They want your love. They want your respect. So again, just because your kids are out of the house doesn't mean that you don't have that influence anymore. Have a voice. Have a voice. Now you understand, you do things a little bit different, right? The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live a long time on the earth. I don't expect my kids to obey me right now. We're at a different season of our lives. I do expect for them to honor, to respect. Why? Because that's what the Bible talks about. But it would be foolish for me to dictate things for them to obey. I am not the head of her household, Caleb is. All right, you're getting awful quiet there. When your kids get older, that when they're out of the house, when they're living there, when they're adults, they're not to obey you. I said, they're not to obey. That's just weird thinking. But they are certainly supposed to maintain honor and respect. Why? That they will continue to live long on the earth, that they will continue to show respect, and that it may go well with them. Yeah, that's a godly principle. Are you listening? Are you here? It's never too late, dads, to be a godly father. Maybe you didn't have a godly father growing up. That's all right. Maybe you didn't grow up with a natural father. That's all right. I heard a man on the news the other day say that fatherlessness, now this was a state or a representative, congressman. They're talking about all kinds of foolishness that's going on in this world. He said, fatherlessness is the number one crisis of our day. It's a pretty bold statement when you think about all the nonsense that's going on. And he said, fatherlessness is the number one crisis of our day. And it's more common than you think. This is as of a couple years ago from the census report, but there was a report that said 19.5 million children, one in four, live without a father in the home. That's astounding. But why am I saying that? Can you handle this morning? Are you all right? Because fatherlessness can no longer be your excuse any longer to be absent from your responsibilities. Because the Bible says in Psalm 68:5, God promises to be a father to the fatherless. Maybe you didn't grow up with a father. Or maybe your father wasn't the godly example that he needed to be. That's all right. You show respect. You show honor. Because you believe the word of God that it may go well with you and that you'll live a long time on the earth. You might not have agreed. We might go as far as to say maybe you grew up in an abusive home. You show honor and you show respect because God said to do it. And as a result, you claim the promise. It's going to be well with me. I'm going to live long on the earth. Listen, this might be hard for you to hear. God said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. That's not the only time he said it. Psalm 10:14 says, you are a helper to the fatherless. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Psalm 146:9 says, the Lord preserves and relieves the fatherless. So there is no longer an excuse from you. No, my daddy didn't teach me right. My mama didn't raise me right. So what? Put your big boy britches on and get on with life. I'm sorry. It is terrible. We do it right here in this school. I dare say that probably 60% of these kids are growing up in a broken home in this Christian school. I read a report one time that said 57% of Christian families are broken. What does that mean? There's been divorce in the home somewhere. It's more than you think it is. Yes, it's unfair. Absolutely unfair. But you reach some point in your life where you have to take responsibility and say, I can't control what was done to me, but I can certainly control what goes on from here on out. God said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. If you didn't have that example, then you trust God. You trust God anyways. But you dive deeper and you say, Father, I trust you for that example. Father, I wasn't loved, but I know that I'm loved by you. Listen, with the Lord's help, you can still determine to follow the principles and examples set forth in the Word by your Heavenly Father. He will never leave you fatherless. I said, He will never leave you fatherless. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning? One more passage. Isaiah 38:19 says, The living, he shall praise you as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known your truth. That's what we're trying to tell you this morning. Everybody stand to your feet. What are we trying to tell you? Teach them. Teach them, make it a point in your life that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, this is the way we're going to do it. We're not going to do it the way of the world. We're going to do it the way the Word says. In every area of our life, that needs to be the point that we make. Joe McGee was here a number of years ago. He said the idea of fathers was a God idea. He said the creator of the universe describes himself as a father. He also describes himself as love. This describes action, not just a feeling. Love is what you do for somebody, not what you feel about them. It's not just enough to say it, you've got to do it. I said it's not just enough to say it, you've got to do it. I guess the question that I ask you this morning is, dads, fathers, are you playing an active role in your family's life today? If not, it's never too late to re-engage. It's never too late to get involved. They need you. They need your love. They need your support. They need your integrity. And if you've missed it, repent. If you've missed it, get back to your God-appointed place as head of the household. He will help you, and you can be the best dad your family has ever known. Maybe your kids are grown up. They're out of the house, and you know deep down in your heart that you weren't the dad that you could have been. It's never too late. I said it's never too late. It is never too late. We've been talking about the mercy of God for five sessions that you and I have been together. What have we been saying? There's always a way back. Thank God, because of His mercy, there's always a way back. So if you've missed it, then recognize that. Be man enough to realize, you know what? I haven't been doing it the right way. Well, that's all right. Right here before God and everybody, you can say, Father, I missed it. Forgive me. And then get right back on track. Thank God. Your kids need you. Your family needs you. Amen. Everybody lift your hands. Lift your voice. Father, we praise you this morning. We pray according to the Word of God. Oh, Father, we repent. As fathers, as men, as fathers this morning, if we've missed it in any area, Father, we repent. Forgive us. Help us to be the dads, the fathers, the men, the husbands that you've called us to be. We repent if we've missed it. Father, forgive us. May our families forgive us. Our heart's desire is to be a reflection of you in everything that we think, everything that we say, everything that we do. Oh, Father, that's our heart's cry before you this morning. May we be the loving example that you have been to us. May we be merciful to them as you've been to us. May we be quick to forgive them as you've been quick to forgive us. Oh, Father, you're so good. So full of love, so full of mercy. And I thank you, Lord, as always, whenever we make that change, whenever we decide to do things your way always produces results and yields the best fruit. We endeavor to serve you, to praise you, to thank you, to honor you all the days of our life. May the Word of God ever be on our mouth. May our kids always hear your voice, not just ours. May we write your words on the doorposts of our house. In other words, may your word be the standard by which we judge everything in our home. And as we do so, you always get the glory. You always get the honor. We love you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Will somebody declare He is good?
He is good.
Say, He is good to me. Have you gotten something out of this morning? Praise God. I tell you, when you make it a point in your family to teach them the ways of the Lord, and you begin to trust God and not lose sight of what the Word says, God's promise is His guarantee of truth. So don't you let go of it. I said, don't you ever let go of it. If you've got kids that are grown up and not in the home, and maybe you feel like you did it the right way, but they went astray, don't you let go of the promise of God's Word. They'll come back. They're coming back. You love them back. You let them know you love them, you care about them. You might not approve, but the love never changes. And you watch them come back. You watch them come back. You watch them declare, you know what? There was something about you. You loved me through this all. Yeah, that's going to be the testimony. You loved me through it all. You never let go. Sometimes that's not easy, but it's God's way, and it yields results. Aren't you so thankful for that? Amen. You have anything? Glory to God. Caleb, you got anything? Praise God, praise God. Well, He is good. I said, He is good. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're so glad you were here this morning. Happy Father's Day. Go enjoy your pampering this afternoon. Let them love on you. Amen. We love you. Pastor Mark will be back with us on Wednesday. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning. Amen. God bless you.